Alt NPR.
Family, one of the most meaningful words in any language, and it means something different to every one of us. For some, it conjures images of the awkward years before we knew who we really were, or a feeling of refuge from a scary world that we were eager to explore, or maybe even wanted to hide from. It's that place we all come from, so every one of us has something in common, yet it's impossible for even members of the same family to have a common family experience, an impression of what family means. The mention of the word family can bring some of the most profound memories of joy as well as loss, but also can throw you into, well, life's more quirky, absurd frustrations, like that brother of yours who can't quite get moved out of the folks' basement. Love you, bro. I'm Alan Baker. Today we'll swing through the Family Winemakers of California tasting to chat with father and son winemaking team Gary and Jeff Pisoni. It's Ratcast number 51. Often, one of the memories winemakers will relate to me when I ask them why they're in the business is that they loved those times with family, gathered around a holiday table piled with food and crammed with bottles of wine. So they're in the business trying to hold on to those family moments and to help others create these memories. The Family Winemakers of California organization is a group that represents small family wineries in the marketplace, but maybe more importantly, at the legislative level in a state with a wine biz that has some very large players. Many of the wineries pouring at the Family Winemakers tasting that I went to recently have an output of well under a couple thousand cases, and often you'll get to taste wines that are produced as in small a batch as a single barrel. That's 25 cases. About as small a batch of fine wine as you really can make. The family name of Pisoni is one you might know if you are into premium Pinot Noir. Gary Pisoni, the visionary, some would say madman, behind the family enterprise, has been growing grapes in his high-elevation vineyard at the southern end of the Santa Lucia Highlands AVA for over 20 years. Grapes from the Pisoni vineyard go into some of the most highly sought-after Pinot Noir wines from Siduri, Arcadian, Peter Michael, and others. And in 1998, Pisoni released their first wine under the Pisoni label. Gary Pisoni is one of those larger-than-life characters in the wine business that everybody seems to have an amusing story about. His sons Jeff and Mark have now joined their father, with Mark as the vineyard manager and Jeff as the winemaker for Pisoni Vineyards. Gary and Jeff were both at the Family Winemakers event and agreed to talk with me, but as we tried to make our way to a quieter place outside the hall to chat, I began to doubt we could make it through the crowd, as Gary stopped every five steps or so to chat with an old friend and regale them with a story or weigh in with some opinion on recent events. We did eventually make it outside, and I did my best to keep the microphone in front of Gary as he bobbed and weaved like a boxer, as he gave me the scoop on how he got started with wine.
I started collecting wine in 1975 when I was in college, and I was drinking my collection so fast, I figured I'd better plant a vineyard. Now I stay even. And it's been my true love all my life. My grandfather made wine, and my cousins make wine in Italy, and it's kind of in our blood. And then my son's been making wine since he's 3 years old. I used to bring him milk, now he brings me wine. How's that for a deal? I planted grapes in 1982, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cab Franc, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, a special clone I brought back from Burgundy. And I made wine with them all, and I found out how special that Pinot Noir was. So then I planted the whole vineyard in Pinot Noir. And I sent one son to college at Davis, and the other son went to college in Fresno. And so they got the best of California, and they're wonderful winemakers. And so I just drink for a living. How's that for a deal?
You knew from what age that you wanted to make wine as a vocation?
Well, like, I was collecting wine for years, and I loved collecting wine. And so I always wanted to plant a vineyard. But my father and I grew vegetables together in the Salinas Valley. Lettuce, celery, broccoli, tomatoes, cauliflower. And he said, Gary, why do you want to go to that upland and plant grapes? Because we have 1,000 acres of lettuce, celery, broccoli, tomatoes, cauliflower. I said, Dad, have you ever been invited to a $250 black tie lettuce tasting?
That's how you say it, right?
And his answer was?
Let's go do it.
So did your father join you in that venture?
Well, not really, but it was his money and it was my ideas. So I guess he did. So
how long did it take before you felt like, wow, this is really working? Or was it pretty immediate?
Well, I planted grapes in 1982, but we didn't have a lot of water. So I had to drill 6 wells before we hit water. And he used to say, are you crazy? People go broke drilling for water. There's no damn water down there. I said, Dad, there's water. We just haven't found it yet. And finally, we did find it. And it was a miracle well.
Where are your vineyards? It sounds like a pretty unique place.
All right. It's in the Salinas Valley. It's about 15 miles south of Salinas in the San Lucia Highlands, where it's a lovely Pinot Noir growing area. In fact, people say to me, yo, Pizzoni, you found the perfect site. How did you find it? I go, only place I got, man.
So did you go looking for a specific location for the vineyard, or was it like, okay, this just worked, and there you landed with it, and it just turned out to be great for Pinot Noir?
No, what it really was is my father likes horses and cattle, so we had it for a cattle ranch. Mm-hmm. And I turned it into a grape ranch. And it's really special, but the horses and cows are gone now because it's all Pinot Noir, and I don't want them eating my berries. In fact, I tell the deer, if you eat my grapes, I will eat you. I tell the birds, if you fly, you die. So we have to protect the Pinot Noir.
And do you get a lot of venison on the table in the fall then?
Come visit me. You'll have a lovely venison dinner.
You sell grapes to other winemakers, and I know your wine from notable wines from up-and-coming winemakers as well as pretty important wines around California. Talk a little bit about how important it is to have your name, your family name, on bottles of other people's wine. Does it help to sell your wines, or how does that relationship work?
Well, it really does. And when we first started, we had no reputation because I just planted grapes and I just loved wine and grapes. But so I went, and I believe I wrote letters to the best Pinot Noir wineries in the state, and I asked them to come see the fruit and taste the wines that I've made myself and that they had a vineyard designate. And I figured that they would get some good scores and kind of shoot us to stardom. And so we did that. We started in 96. I copied William Selyem's plan, and that's how they did it. So I didn't invent this thing. I just copied them. And it worked out great. And they got some good scores. And then my son was going to college in Fresno, and he worked at Peter Michael, Patrick Hall, Siduri. And then after that, he had a lot of experience. We had some vineyard designates, and it just kind of worked.
Were you encouraging of your sons to go in the business? And what's the best and worst of the family relation with the business?
Well, as I had hoped that they would go in the business, and I knew I would kind of slowly seduce them into it. And it worked out well. And ask him.
So how was it? Was it a full press to actually get you to go in? Is he soft pedaling here?
Well, he's a pretty good guy to work for, so it wasn't too hard to convince us.
So when did you start making wine officially for your father?
Officially for my father was with our 2002 vintage, but he had us working with some of the other wineries we sell grape to for much longer before that.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in the vineyards and in the winery? I mean, talk a little bit about growing up around this business.
We did. My brother who runs the vineyard management now, and I do the winemaking, but yeah, we both started out. Summer jobs were always in the vineyard, and Dad had always made wine at home, so we were always in it and always involved with it in some level. So a good foundation for when we went to school and then came back to work for him.
So did you find, since you grew up in the business, that school was just like, okay, I already know this stuff? Or was it, or did you come back from school and have to challenge a lot of your father's winemaking practices?
the enology school is really great in that they had a winery there practicing, so it was really practical. And a lot of what you learn there is what you need to know. So in that sense, it was very helpful.
So what's the best thing about working with family in a business that is basically all yours?
I think that we know we're going to be the only ones doing this in the future. And we can, we put all our effort into it, and we know it's going to go towards whatever our goal is.
Yeah. Okay, and what's the biggest pain in the ass?
You can't fire them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. No, it's really wonderful working with my sons. It really is. Because we could yell at each other and say, can't you see? Where's your brains at? What are you doing wrong? And can't you tell? And we yell and scream and then walk out the room and love each other.
So how collaborative is the winemaking process? I mean, are you Jeff, are you completely in charge of this at this point, or how? I mean, is everybody kind of pitching in on it?
Jeff is completely in charge of the winemaking because as he understands it and has a wonderful feel for it, and I trust him completely with it. As in, that's why I don't have to worry about it.
I would want to add to that as well. I handle the day-to-day stuff of the winery, but we do collaborate on a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Especially one of the important things in winemaking is, of course, the vineyard, and we especially when to harvest the fruit, so that we all get together on when it gets close to harvest time and throw our ideas in there. And on the other end of the spectrum, when it comes time to blend wines, we all get together and vote on our favorite blends and work on that together. So it is very collaborative. And being close together and being family, it's easy to set those days up, like let's do a trial and let's do a blending. And
yeah, how important was it for you to establish kind of a style and stick to it?
Well, when people ask what kind of style of wine we're making, it represents the people behind it, I think, as well as all the descriptors. So for anyone who's met our father, I say, well, if you drink our wine, and you know our father, they're a consistent, really big personality, really expressive, and the wines are intense and really rich, but balanced somehow.
And Alan, you know what I think is we should show the typicity of the vineyard. Every year should be, in fact, a good winemaker shows what he does is he shows an expression of the earth without disturbing it. And so we should show that flavor of that vineyard. And so that's what we do every year. We just want to work to show that. And that's what's important to us.
Hey, yeah, I mean, how in a blind tasting, can you taste wines made by other wineries from your fruit?
You know what? I taste mine. It's like touching your kid. You know it's your kid. It amplifies the voice of the earth. It's delicious. We just want to make sure that we don't screw up the wine, because they say if a person makes a bad wine, people remember it for 10 years. And if he makes a bad wine, I'll be spanking his ass for the next 10 years.
How long do they remember a good wine?
1 week. I want you to come visit the vineyard. You feel the pulse of the vineyard. We'll have a vertical, we'll have a horizontal, and I'll throw in a diagonal.
That's Gary Pisoni along with his son Jeff talking about their winemaking enterprise in the Santa Lucia Highlands. I tasted several wines made from Pisoni fruit at this tasting, and believe it or not, some of the 2005 Pinots are already being released. Pretty crazy, but with demand being what it is, what, are you going to not give them your money? They want your money, so they're going to take it. So the 05s are starting to come out. And I tasted the 2005 Sidori Pisoni Vineyards Pinot Noir, and it was definitely a bit of a wild child with a seductive, soft nose of spice and dried leaves, followed by plum and earth on the palate with nice acidity on the finish. And I didn't get a retail price on this wine, but it should be available soon directly from the winery or maybe elsewhere as well. The two wines I tasted made by the Pisonis were the 05 Gary's Vineyard Pinot Noir and the 2004 Pisoni Estate Pinot. The 05 Gary's Vineyard Pinot seemed to be pretty well integrated for such a young wine. It had dusty earth and round cherry aromas and a luscious mouthfeel. Red fruit, raspberry, and red delicious apple flavors precede a tart, medium-long finish, and this wine retails for about $45. The 04 Pisoni Estate Pinot Noir is their flagship wine, I think, and it retails for around $60. It's a complex wine that should age quite well. You get earth, leather, and dark-skinned fruit on the nose with a very complex flavor profile that rests more on the beautiful earthy structure than on fruit flavors, but there is plenty of plum and dark cherry fruit in there as well. It's a compelling wine. You can check out the Pisoni wines at pisonivineyards.com, and I'll have these links on cellarrat.org as well. Other wines I thought were very good at the tasting were an 03 Alexander Valley Syrah from Blue Rock Vineyards. Chasseur are making some fabulous Chardonnays, and Paloma was pouring their killer Merlot. Viadere had a wonderful Cabernet Franc. And speaking of family, actually, I met Sam Baxter's father and brother. Sam is the winemaker for Terra Valentine, featured in Ratcast number 36, who I confirmed again at this tasting is still making one of the best bargains in Napa with the Terra Valentine 2003 Spring Mountain Cabernet Sauvignon. I think that's still like $35, and it's a really good deal. Anyway, Sam's father and brother, both named Phil, by the way, are creating wines in northern Mendocino under the Baxter Winery label, and they're doing some really great stuff. Their production is small, and the wine isn't cheap, but there are some wonderful wines. My favorite was the 2003 Mendocino Eagle Point Ranch Syrah. Meaty and spicy on the nose, it's a big wine with mineral and bacony flavors with a long finish that evolves to show dark fruit and licorice. And that goes for $45. And, well, okay, enough family chat. Well, maybe one more thing. Maybe now would be the time I should remind my sister that she lost my very favorite Patootie doll. I loved that doll. Well, and as of this very moment, I forgive you, sis. And I feel better. Okay, next week, we'll see where I land. But with the crush closing in, I'm on the verge of deciding if I can pull the trigger on a winemaking project this year. I'll have more on this soon, but I hope to try and convince a winery to allow me to wire up the winery, and myself, actually, so you can join in the daily winemaking process. And for any of you who might want a piece of the action, maybe even bring you into the process of deciding how the wine gets made. But for now, that's about it. I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat, and I will be back with you soon.
Alt.